Will you pray with me, please? Loving Creator God, we thank you. We thank you for calling us together in this time of worship. We thank you for opening our hearts. We thank you, God, for the struggles that have made us who we are. Amen. In the first reading that we heard today, we hear the story of Jacob. Jacob and his family, his wives, yes, wives. So, like, keep that in mind as people say to you, like, about biblical marriage and how you're maybe are not living into biblical marriage because, I don't know, maybe you don't have enough wives. So in this time, in Jacob's time, this was the cultural norm, which of course has since shifted. But he takes his family, and they are on their way to see his brother Esau. Now, Jacob and Esau have not had a great relationship. That's a story for another sermon. But let's just say that Esau is not preparing a party for Jacob. He has prepared an army. And Jacob is terrified and yet must go and has his family. So what he's done is he's split his family up because of the risk that they could be annihilated in the night. And he has separated himself from them. So there are families in multiple groups and he is alone, just trying to preserve his family. So as you might imagine, Jacob doesn't sleep well that night. He's by himself and planning on a night of solitude and prayer as he prepares for what is to come, not knowing what will happen next. And then suddenly, this angel that is disguised as a man comes and picks a fight with Jacob. And they wrestle throughout the night. And this is, of course, the angel of God. And in this interesting contest that is happening throughout the night, it becomes clear that Jacob might not actually lose this fight. But he does not come out unharmed. It's not like in the morning the sun comes up and they're like, great job, good match, let's shake hands and everything's okay. Jacob is permanently injured. His hip is put out of joint and he will walk forever with a limp. So as the night has come to an end, the dawn has come, and Jacob, who is in pain and still fighting, still struggling, still wrestling with God, says, I will not let you go until you bless me. Now, this response is pleasing to God. God gives a blessing to Jacob. You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men, and you have prevailed. So then Jacob, he limps to this meeting with Esau. His body weakened, but his faith restored. Having wrestled with God, Jacob knows that he is whole. And he only became whole through being broken. Haven't so many of us experienced that? And maybe we haven't quite gotten to that place of feeling whole, so we're still in the wrestling stage. We're still in the feeling broken part. But it is in our brokenness that we find wholeness. It is not in the times that are simple and easy that we get made whole. We become whole when we struggle, when we feel like this long night of struggle will never end, that is when we are getting stronger and being made whole. And I had absolutely no idea that Lily was going to say that profound thing during the kids' message. But in a church where so many of our kids have been through things that a lot of us cannot imagine before they became part of the families that love them. Wow, Lily, thank you for sharing your truth with us this morning. Another one of our kids that's coming for my job. What a beautiful image of wrestling, of struggling to end up where we belong. And then today also from the Gospel of Luke, we heard about this persistent woman and the unjust judge. Now, this is a story that I'll be honest, like not my favorite story. But that's because it's one of those many stories like this that get mistold and misunderstood. And sometimes people read this story and they think, oh, is this just saying that, like, is the judge meant to be God? So remember that the judge is unjust. Doesn't love God, doesn't really like people. He's just there to, you know, be judgy, as judges sometimes are. So this widow comes to him again and again and again, asking for justice, and finally he says, okay, fine, whatever. Just, like, I will grant you this because I want you to go away. So what the text isn't telling us is that if we pester God enough, God will finally get tired of us and say, fine, you can have whatever you want. What the text is saying is that God is the opposite of this judge. God isn't what the judge personifies, is someone who doesn't really care about justice, doesn't really care about making things right, doesn't really care about spirituality or human beings. What Jesus says is that if even this judge can have some mercy, don't we know that our God, who is so much better than this judge, will have mercy? And who was this woman who kept coming to the judge? She was a widow. And again, we've heard throughout the Gospel of Luke about widows. Widows are often what Luke uses to show those who are truly disenfranchised. Now, let's remember that this is a time when women didn't have what was considered inherent worth in this world. And being attached to a man was the only way to survive. And to be a widow meant that literally your survival was on the line. And so, like Jacob, who wrestled with God throughout the night, whose survival was on the line, this widow was struggling just to survive. At the Festival of Homiletics, Barbara Lundblad pointed out that when we speak of this widow, that nevertheless, she persisted. When we talk about the need for justice, this is a passage that isn't just about justice, it is about prayer. It's not just about the judge and the widow. It is about how do we persist no matter what? How do we persist when we are called to persistence? If we work for justice and we do it without prayer, the justice is empty, even if it is successful. And if we pray, but our prayers don't have motion and movement, if our prayers don't become embodied in us, then yeah, it's great, had a conversation with God. But that means that we maybe aren't listening. And we remember that listening isn't what we do with our ears, listening is what we do with our hearts. And when we pray for justice, part of that is listening for what God is calling us to do, what God is empowering us to do, the transformation that God wants in this world, we can pray for it, but we got to do it. Prayer and justice and faith. Reverend Lundblad says, what Jesus has joined together, prayer, justice, and faith, no one can set asunder. So in these two texts, as in many texts, we hear about struggle. We hear about fear. We hear the cry for justice and fairness. So let's think about Jacob wrestling with the angel, struggling with God. You don't have to raise your hand, but just think, have you struggled with God? And in that struggle, have you also made it more complicated for yourself by fearing that it was wrong for you to struggle with God? Have you ever gotten angry with God? Trust me when I say that God is big enough to hold your anger. And when you shout at God, I'm so mad at you that I don't believe that you exist. Keep in mind, you're still saying it to God, so God's pretty good at logic and has already figured it out that you're acting out in anger. And that is okay. Not only is it okay, but it is blessed and beautiful and powerful, and it can make your faith so much deeper. And when you need justice in your life, and you go to the powers that be, whether it's an actual judge in a courtroom or someone else who is standing in the way of you getting what you need for your own safety and health and survival, and you persist and persist and persist, you are doing that struggle that God calls you to do. And when you hold the hand of someone who needs your help, when you fight for that justice, even if it hurts your heart, even if it hurts your body, even if it means that for the rest of your life you are forever changed, wear your scars with pride, because that is what made you who you are. Your scars are your roadmap. Sometimes we have to throw down. And you know I'm all like peace and love and all of that. But sometimes we have to fight. We have to name injustice. We have to struggle, not just show up, but be present in our whole selves. And sometimes we wrestle with God. And sometimes God lets us win. And we don't walk away unscathed, but we walk away powerful. Although it may make us limp, we are made whole in our brokenness. We learned an important lesson today about wholeness during the kids' message. We could have ended church after that kids' message. Thank God for the things that broke you. Thank God for the things that made you unbelievably powerful, because it changed you and it brought you here. And now we get to take our next step, which is radically transforming this world, helping others, showing God's love. What a blessing that we have. Amen.